All right, let's continue our teaching, Walking in the Spirit. We have been on it for some time, and I'd like us to read our main scripture again, the book of Galatians chapter 5, which is one we have been reading again and again while studying on walking in the Spirit. And if you remember, the version I use, New American Standard, it uses the word walk by the Spirit, and I've been trying to explain for the last few weeks actually what it means to walk by the Spirit. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, says you were called to freedom. Let me just say this briefly. That is a difficult thing in life. For people to be free is very difficult. That is, people would rather be in bondage because somebody else is responsible for their actions. And that's why people often are afraid of freedom. Now, I won't develop that now, but true Christianity is about freedom. That's the real thing. And what do you mean by freedom? You'd be surprised. It means, literally, that we're not supposed to walk by some fast laws, but to understand God and understand him so well that, like I say as an illustration all the time, that if he were to go on leave and not say anything, we would know his heart, we would know exactly what he would have said under certain circumstances, all right? So that's what it is. So he said, we are called to that freedom. He said, but we must not turn our freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But that in that freedom, we should be able to serve one another. That's verse 13. Like I was saying, that's the problem with freedom. People often use the freedom as the opportunity for the flesh. The illustration, again, I use a lot of times talking about this freedom thing is the fact that in my home, the children have a time they are supposed to sleep, but it does not apply to adults. Are you getting my point? When you get to the house, during school sessions, there's a period in which, by a certain time, all the children must be on their beds. But then when you grow beyond that level, or in fact, there are certain channels of the TV they can't watch. You know my point? And they know the law. At certain times, you must switch off from even watching cartoons and start watching only educational channels until you fall asleep. But for us adults, it does not. There's no law like that. However, even though there's no law, all right, there are certain channels we never tune to. Nobody in my home has mistakenly tuned to Big Brother Africa. We don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross anybody's mind to find what are they even doing currently. What concerns me with people who want to die and go to hellfire? Even though there's freedom, that's the point I'm making, but we do not use that freedom as the opportunity for the flesh. You don't say, because I'm free, I can do what I want. You now indulge the flesh. That's that illustration. And how do we do that so that we do not indulge the flesh? That's what he was saying. He said, through love, serve one another. Use your freedom. Jesus Christ, he said that, all right, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He said the law was made for man and not man for the law. And that the Son of Man is Lord also over the Sabbath. But what did he do on Sabbath? The only thing he did on Sabbath was to heal the sick. He did not say because the law, all right, was made for man and not man for the law, and that he is the Lord over the Sabbath. He will not get up on Sabbath and say, guys, let's go to our farms. No. The only way he broke, in quotes, according to the Pharisees now, the Sabbath was by healing the sick, was by doing good works. And you found out that when he had to argue with them, he explained to them that, listen, if you have an animal that's about to die because he fell into a pit, will you say it's because it's Sabbath or it's a Sabbath day? You will not bring it out. That is, he used the freedom that he had to save somebody. So when he saw a woman that was sick, she had been bound over by a spirit of infirmity, all right, for the last many years, he freed her even though it was on a Sabbath day. So he said, use your freedom to serve one another. And he said in verse 14, let's continue reading. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. And that's in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that in that process all of you are not consumed. Now let's sit down our main text, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and vice versa. Verse 18 now says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then verse 19, he listed the deeds of the flesh. And then ended that in verse 21. And he said that, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, they will not find heaven manifested in their today's life. Please let me say this again. He wasn't saying, he was not talking about going to hell or going to heaven here. He was describing specifically that in this your existence, God wants to manifest his power through you. And he wants to manifest his power in you. When he came to Jesus, he said to them, if I by the finger of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That is, Jesus was the embodiment of the kingdom of God. And he was living in that kingdom even though he was living on this earth. And he was saying that anybody, Paul was saying here, that indulges the flesh will not find God's power, God's kingdom, so manifested in his life. Please bear that in mind. All right? He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is just one thing, but with different manifestations. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Then now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If you go down to verse chapter 6, again he said in verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things. My emphasis there is the fact that he pointed that he's supposed to share good things with the one who teaches. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Now, people say that if you sow money, you will reap money. Please, you must understand what he was saying. That he never said that. I heard very good preachers sometimes say it, that if you give money, you will get money. That's not what the Bible was saying. If a man sows, everything has his substance, the real substance that is inside it. Money in itself is hardly ever the substance. Money only conveys the spirit. And it is that spirit actually that you are sowing. So it's not if you give naira, you will get naira. If you give money, you must get money back. No. Money conveys different things. It can convey love. It can convey honor. It can convey mercy. It can convey, of course, compassion. It can convey simple love. You know, I think I mentioned it earlier. All right? Being a good person, willing to help somebody else, that might manifest in money. And whatever it is you sowed is what you will reap. So if you give money, if your own money manifests selfishness, I want more, therefore I give, you will also reap selfishness. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? It is not as if because I gave money, money I must get. No, if I give selfishness, that's the real substance inside my giving, then I will get selfishness, in quote, back. And that's what Paul now said further down, that anyone that sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Just to emphasize what I was saying a few moments ago. So talking about that real substance, Jesus talked about it. He that shows mercy will obtain what? Are you seeing that? That is, mercy is the real substance. How do I show mercy? It can be by giving money. And that's what I need to emphasize to Christians again and again, because I know, I perceive it all the time. You say these things, people don't, they still want to read on the superficial. And say, if you sow money, don't expect to reap something else. You have to reap money. I heard a man preaching that one day his wife gave out underwears, you know, bought, women's underwears, all right, and gave them out to people as offerings. And she said, what are you doing? That they are going to soon start receiving underwears. Okay, you think God does not think? He does not know how many underwears your wife can wear. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. All right? We must understand that. If it was really a gift, that is, you're trying to help people, God knows, and I say it all the time, the Shunammite woman gave hospitality to Elisha, and reaped a child. Do you follow that point? Yes, there was a time her money was lost, her estate was lost, it was recovered back for her. What she just did was to show honor, and God said, whoever honors me, the person I will honor. It's not whoever gives me money. So be careful as a believer when you are sowing this your financial seeds. Very important. I'm trying to summarize everything now. I've been emphasizing this, that the difference is whether you are sowing to your flesh or you are sowing to the spirit. The basic thing is this. Who is it that is sowing to the flesh? The fellow who is doing what he's doing for what he's going to get. No matter how spiritual it looks. I remember once, then I didn't understand it. A brother, you know, I think I've told you this story. A friend of mine, it said this. Now, we didn't have much understanding. I would have corrected him then, because I didn't know it too. But this also happened. I just want to tell the story again to help correct us in our behaviors as Christians. Some young men went to see Bishop David Oyedepo, and that's an anointed man. If you believe that, say amen. Some people said they went to heaven, and they found that the Bishop Oyedepo and Bishop Pastor Adeboye are going to hell. Let me tell you the truth. Those guys will get to hell faster. That is, those people have seen those funny visions. I'm not a respecter of man. That's it, because he's a... Are you saying because he's a big man, he can't go to hell? He is not going to hell. Amen? And it has nothing to do with whether he's a big man or he's not. Are you going to hell? I'm not going to hell. That's not important. Who's going to hell is not going to hell. But this is an anointed man of God, a man I respect so much. Again, let me tell you why, one of the reasons why I respect Bishop Oyedepo so much. Many of the things you are seeing now, do you understand? They said he has private jet, he has two. Is it, I don't know whether it's two or four he has now. I really don't know. The ministry. Uh-huh. Somebody just confirmed four, all right? Yes, and he has built, last I knew, there were two universities, and I think there's a third one on the way, and some other ones being built in different parts of Africa that is in the pipeline. And people say that they keep on talking nonsense, you know. Please, may poverty not control your mouth in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen, no. Amen. I said, say amen, no. Amen. Some people, they wake up in the morning and say, poverty, you are my friend. May you never depart from me. He said, but when did they say that? They sit down and start cursing and insulting and criticizing things they know nothing about. One of the most stupid arguments you hear all the time is that how can a church, the members be giving offerings to the building of a university and the members can't attend because it's too expensive? And this is my answer. When you and your brother start a supermarket, go and take bread and don't pay. Did you catch that? That is, if you and your brother put money together to start a supermarket, does it give you the right to walk in there and take stuff without paying? What do you pay for? The cost of that thing. Building the I teach in the university. I can assure you, those universities are cheap. The fact that you contribute money does not give you an automatic scholarship. Because if that was the case, you and me know it, you fold the first day. The place has to run. I hope you are getting my point. It has to run. The so-called offering that you are talking about, if indeed that's the way it went, was used to subsidize it. The money you are paying, the only reason why it's that cheap is because you gave that offering. Nobody is saying that, okay, how much did you give to us? How much did each, you are talking about, how much did they give? Okay, you give. 10,000 naira. They will now give you free tuition. Madness. No, poverty is a terrible thing, though. It just blinds you. You can't think straight. If your father owns a filling station, can you take fuel from there free? No, think about it. Which is our family business. I just put fuel. If you do like that, you will close my favorite supermarket. You know that supermarket downstairs? You know they've closed. They closed at 12 midnight. Disappeared with people's money. You know what I'm giving you is fact. Anyway, if you want to know how to, if you want to start a business, please, go and meet my wife. Go and meet Yinka for counseling. No, it sounds like a joke. I'm not joking about it. Most businesses close because people don't know how to manage money. The Bible says, know the condition of your flock. Are you getting my point? Now, please, it's just... Anyway, all those things people criticize, I don't have time to discuss it. Let me just give it to you because I know you believe what I'm saying. That's why you came here. If you hated me, what would you be doing here? And you know I won't lie to you. Let me tell you the truth. Those ministry universities, they are cheap. You say, but they are more expensive than federal universities. In case you do not know, their lecturers and university lecturers earn the same amount of money. And federal university lecturers, they earn the same amount of money. If you don't pay it, you won't get the lecturers. The so-called monies that people gave as offering only built the buildings. It can't run the place. Federal universities, UNILAG charges more than half what Covenant charges. Yet, its own staff, they are all paid by federal government. Anything they generate there, they use it there. Yet, they are charging more than half of what Covenant is charging. What does that tell you? Covenant has to pay all his staff from what he are paying. Please, after today, when people are not going anywhere at gathering to talk, the worst you should do is keep quiet. At best, teach them the truth. God said, I will bless those that bless you. Let me not read the other side. You know the other side. So don't join those who are cursing those that God is blessing. It's one of the ways by which people hinder their own personal blessings. God is blessing the man. You are saying, I don't mind them. By the time they reach this level, they can't think again. They start buying plane. God say, you, I'm taking your shoes. Yeah. Because you too, when you were poorer than this, you had only a pair of slippers. Ever since I gave you a job, you bought 4 pairs of shoes. A new wristwatch. You change your socks every week now. And every fine shirt you buy. And to you, it's not sin. It's not iniquity. It's only when a man who has plenty buys a plane that is iniquity. Let me tell you the 2 major reasons people buy planes. Good people. 1, they can afford it. 2, they need it. And the 2 main reasons, Pastor Banky doesn't have a private jet today at the exact opposite of the first 2 I told you. Number 1, I can't afford it. Number 2, I don't need it. Where am I going? Where am I going? No, that is very important. So if somebody can afford it, I mean, really, you need to have plenty of money to own those things. So buying it is the least of your problems. Pay 2 pilots first, you go wake up. Then when you park the, you know, if you park in your house, no charge. If you park your, no matter how big your car is, no charge. Unfortunately, the plane cannot park in your house. It has to park at the airport. And they charge you every day you leave it there. You fly over 2 airports, they charge you. When you land, you know there's a charge. Landing fees. I'm not sure there's no takeoff fees. You had better be rich before you buy a plane. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, I don't know. Why did I go into that? I just feel like educating people. Rich people are going somewhere, need to know all these things. Leave all those poverty people. Amen? Amen. God has delivered you from poverty in Jesus' name. Amen. You know how to reason like the people who are prosperous in the name of Jesus. Paying for the $8 million a month, does it scare you? Does it scare you? No. God will make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear me, at least one person listen to me sitting down here tonight, we fly a private jet. Amen. And it is not because of ostentation you want to show off. You're not showing off to anybody. You're too busy to show off. No wonder they told Mary Kay Ash, she has some pains in her joints, that she has rheumatoid arthritis. Then she'll get crippled. They told her all the things that will happen with her. She thanked the doctor and went back to work. Said that was maybe like 20 years ago when she was telling the story. I've been too busy for the rheumatoid arthritis to come back. That is, I've had too much to do. I don't have time to wake up in the morning. Oh, my joint is paining me. Say, joint, it can be paining you. I'm going to work. In the same manner, you will be too busy to be showing off to anybody. I just feel like telling you how blessed people are. So, Bishop, one of the reasons why I like him is because all these things you see now, when he didn't have too many cars, he said them, and I heard them. I heard the things he said. Around 1990, once I started hearing him, he made it clear. And money will never be a problem for him. That when the time comes, he will buy a private jet. He's been saying that thing. 20 years before he did those things, I heard him say them. Before he bought land for university, he had been declaring those things. So that's why people like, I would never criticize people like him on things like that. No. Because there are many things I've declared also in my life. I know the one I enjoy of all my declarations. Let me tell you the one I enjoy most. Shall I tell you? You've heard me talk about the kind of house I live in, you know, big ranch-like area. But that's not a big deal for me. I mean, it's not a big deal. The one I will enjoy most, oh God, the one I will enjoy most, which I've been declaring for a long time, is the day you. I'll meet you at an airport, and I'll just say, with me. Wait, watch. That is the MD of that multinational, and your company is worth billions. I said, just watch. Hey, Fidelis, come. That is the one. And you will run. I said, I told you. that is the one. That is the one. The one that will almost bring tears from my eyes. And I say, okay, time to pray for the president of Nigeria. And it will be somebody who sat here who I taught the word of God. And I will never allow it. Only God can take that mic from me. So that I must preach the inaugural service. I must pray the prayer for the president. If any, I will physically fight anybody that comes to near that microphone. SSS will not be able to stop me. I'll say, give me the mic. What's your problem? I'm going to pray this prayer today. I want to pray people who know what I'm thinking of. I'll say, oh, Lord. I will say in my heart. Outside, I'll be saying, Father, thank you for the nation. Inside my heart. I said, Lord, we're small in our own eyes. Yet you made. That's what I'll be saying inside. On the surface, I'll be saying, Father, we thank you for the nation, Nigeria. We bless the press. Inside. Inside. What I'll be saying. That one, it will happen.
Amen.
I said, it will happen.
Amen.
Listen, even if you call local government chairman, call me. I will leave everything I have to do. I don't care if it's Saturday. I will come and do inauguration for you. When you finish taking your oath, everybody move aside. I bring my anointing oil. Kneel down. I will empty the bottle. You better have spare shirt that day. Because I will finish the bottle. In the name of Jesus, goodness will be with you. All your enemies will drown. I'm serious. Political prayer, not be joke prayer. It will happen in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said it will happen in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Many things that will happen. It's not about buying car that's the issue. The one that will make me laugh is, I told you, I would really love it. A car will drive by, I will look at it. I say, my God, this is fine. I say, how much is that? He says, 25 million, sir. I say, 25 million, give me my phone. I'll call two of you. I'll tell you the name of the car, I'll tell you the color I want. I want it by next week. I will hang the phone and give the person beside me. When the car comes, bring it and come out. And I know it's coming. Then say, yes, and when he arrives, I won't even call you to say thank you. Why should I call you to say thank you? For what? Is it your money? It's our money, amen?
Amen.
It's our father's money. He just said, give me a small portion. I just say, he has brought it. Is it good? Do we like it? If not, should we ask them to send the second one? They say, no, sir, this one is okay. Sorry, let us go. That will happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For me, that's why I'm taking joy from. That is it. That the word of God I preached lifted people up and it brought them to a level where the glory of God began to manifest in their lives. That's what's going to give me joy. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And let me now get back to my message, all right? I hope you're blessed by that.
Yes.
Now, so what I was saying. So then, as I like Bishop Idipo, that's what I was talking about. So this young man, a friend of mine, I'm back now to where I started from. I'm talking about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. So some young men went to Bishop's house. And they found that this is where the man of God lives. So I think they stopped and then left, went to the market and bought a lot of things, you know, gifts, food stuff, household things like that, you know, consumables. So when they came, the wife let them in, they delivered all the gifts. And when Bishop Oedipo came down later, he said to them, oh, I heard that you guys brought me this and this and that. And they said, yes, sir. And he said to them, you are very wise. No, he doesn't say you, thank you. He said, you are very wise. And he began to tell them things and all of that, just stayed with them afterwards, told them to kneel down, and he laid hands upon them and blessed them with the anointing to prosper. By the following year, all of them were multimillionaires. That their company began to thrive. The fellow telling me the story is their friend. He said very soon that they will call him to tell him how much money they made the previous year. And they connected it with that visit. Now, please note that too. I want to bring out something, right? Just notice. The fellow telling the story said that he has learned now. That what he's planning to do now is to go to Bishop's house and start washing his clothes. Did you catch it? The first set of young men went just to honor the teacher of the word, the man of God. Nothing more. They just said, this is where this man stays. How can we just pass like that? So they went and brought gifts so as to greet him. Then somebody heard the story and said, this is the key to prosperity. Are you seeing where we miss it in Christianity? He was going to sow to his flesh. The first set of people sow to the spirit. Are you getting my point? That's it. In Christianity, your motivation must be very, you have to watch it. He said to them in Malachi, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. That is why every day I wake up, I tell you, stop this nonsense of when I need money, I go and give. When you need money, you go and pray. Do you understand my point? When do you give? When the other person needs money, not when you need money. Did you get that? And that's what it means when he says, sow to the Spirit. Because, you know, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. He said, now, let's get back there. We'll be reading this. He said in verse 9. Okay, in that verse 6, I first emphasized the sharing of good things. And then in verse 9, he was now saying, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we reap if we do not grow weary. What does that tell you? He was saying simply, therefore, that instead of sowing to the flesh, and from the flesh reaping corruption, this is how we sow to the Spirit. We continually do good. And we read from Matthew chapter 22, that there are two commandments that are the greatest of the commandments. In fact, they are, both of them are the same caliber. And he said, upon these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And what are those two commandments? Number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And number two, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love, therefore, is what we follow in walking in the Spirit. And we said love has two types. There's love for God, that's commandment number one. And there's love for your neighbor, that's commandment number two. And how do you love God? If a man loves me, he will keep my word. And I ended last time by emphasizing that the fellow who really loves God, what he or she does is to pursue obedience to the word of God. It's not just to say I've gone to church and we've done minimal obedience. It's that God has a counsel. He has a word in every situation, and I will not do anything that contradicts that word. In fact, I go every day looking for that word, and that's the reason why you've come here this evening. If you have a conflict in your home, you and your wife, there is something God said about how to handle it. Not what your father thinks, not what your village thinks. And I remember last time I emphasized that the job of a pastor is not the man who is nice and greet and hugs people. The job of the pastor is the man who we ask the counsel of God at such times. As to what is the will. The will of God is not, hey, does God want me to go to the left or go to the right? No. That is part of the will of God. But the will of God is that, what did God describe for this kind of situation? I got a tweet from Bishop Oyedepo. I read it yesterday. He said, those of you that go and pray for 7 days, how I wish you would think for 2 days. What is that they explain? That God has precepts. Use those precepts and try and arrange your life. So the man, the woman who loves God is the one who looks for those precepts so as to arrange his or her life. Very important. Walking in the Spirit, that's what it means. Let me emphasize again. It doesn't mean to wake up in the morning and say, oh, Holy Ghost, if you don't speak today, I'm not going anywhere. No. No. If the Holy Ghost does not want you to go anywhere, he will speak. If he doesn't say anything, it means go somewhere. I don't know where I get my point. Paul never needed to be encouraged to preach anywhere. The only time the Holy Spirit needed to talk to him was, don't preach there. That is, I say it all the time, the number one way by which God leads people is just to teach them what is wrong and what is right. That's number one way he leads. I've said it to you again and again. The main way you will find the wife that God sent to you is that you meet somebody that you like. And I say, what are you talking about? Like I said in my book, Should I Say Yes? It is the kind of person you like that should be the question. Do you get what I'm saying? If you are renewed, if you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's it. That transformation is what the will of God is. It's not, should I marry Miss A or Miss B? No. The will of God is that I am transformed. I understand that charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. I understand that. I've been transformed, therefore, into the will of God. The will of God is for me to understand that I cannot be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's just the will of God. Transformation is what leads you into the will of God. That is, once you are transformed, when the word enters you. So that we've been talking about. In fact, let me just pick up from there. You know, I digress quite a bit, so that took a bit of my time. Last time, we were saying something. Let me just pick up from there. Let me quickly, I feel like rushing now so that I won't overshoot today. You know, last time we began to talk about that love for God specifically. The issue of loving righteousness. Please, because of time, I won't read it, but quickly go Well, you can note it again. Psalm 45, we read it last time. There's one point I want to make today, which, well, let me not complain. I wish I just started straight with it, but we keep learning. You know, I say all the time, we just keep learning. We have to say many things, right? So we keep learning. But this is the point I have for us today. In that Psalm 45, it said that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. He said, for you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity or wickedness. He said, therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. You read from verse 6. Now, very important. Verse 7 says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Please, last time I was explaining this particular issue, that Christians will do what is right for the love of what is right. Now, I want to pick up from that today to emphasize a principle that people need to understand. We often miss the mark as believers. And even some very sound teachers that I love, that's the one fault I find in their teachings. And I pray to God that he will reveal to them so that I can correct them in those areas. We often focus on the results that things bring into our lives when we are talking. In our activity, we focus on results too much. I want to emphasize to us again, that is not Christianity. I particularly dislike testimonies these days, before I used to love them, and I still give some of them to illustrate points, but I don't want us to focus on them. In which a man comes to give a testimony, and he says that, I needed a million. Then I gave 10,000, and here is the testimony, I now have a million. And then we clap. And somebody says, when you need a million, go and give 10,000, or whatever it is. I say to you again, it grieves my heart when we do that. Because what we do is to emphasize the principle of getting a million. And that has never been God's design. Let me tell you the testimony of one woman I heard in Lagos, a pastor in Lagos. That's the wife, a very well-known pastor. He said the woman said she used to hear, I think I've told the story to us here before. She used to hear people say that, I gave 100,000. And I've heard other people say that, I've heard people say that they gave a million. You get my point? And they kept on wondering. Now, 100,000, I'm sure now for her and her husband, 100,000 would be big money now. But that time for her, it obviously was big money. So she went and prayed and said, God, you mean people give 100,000? How did they take manage? So she prayed and said, God, I need to be able to give 100,000. And then one day, she was telling this testimony. Because she was telling this story in a testimony. Because shortly before that, God had opened the door for her. And she had 100,000. And she quickly rushed and gave an offering of 100,000. Way, I don't know. But so the testimony was, praise the Lord. People are giving 100,000. I want you to know that God has led me to that level. Me too. I can now give 100,000. Praise the Lord. And she went and sat down. That's an unusual testimony. Most testimonies are, when I was giving that money, it was paining me. It was paining me. I said, God, this seed must germinate quick. It must come back quick. It must come back quick. I was hearing a man, he speaks a lot on things like that, and I don't like how he says it. He said, I don't know about you, but when I'm giving such offering, it pains me. I'm wondering, am I doing the right thing? How can you say, am I doing the right thing if you're helping somebody? But he's saying that, would this seed germinate and bring back for me? He says, I gave that money, I was wondering. By the following week, this happened. Can you see? I say to you again, what we are doing most of the time is sowing to the flesh. That woman just gave that testimony and went and sat down. Christianity is that we take challenge from things that are right. The first time somebody came and said, Kingdom World Ministries, take, here is a million that I use it to preach the gospel. Why did the brother do it? It's simply because he had been hearing people doing it. I don't know what I can say. So people just wake up in the morning and they just give $1 million as offering. Now, wow. Say, God, I must give. That is, it's not like, they were not looking for, Baba God, this is my seed. It must not die. It must germinate.
as I'm putting that this 1 million, it must come back to me as a hundredfold, 100 million, pressed down, shaken together. I want it in dollars, in pounds, in Japanese yen, in Ghanaian currency. No. It is just, you mean it is possible? I remember once when I was in university, I told you, this happened. 20 naira, the time I was telling the story, was a big amount of cash, especially for a student. If you bear in mind that one complete meal that time was 1 naira. That is good meal, not managed meal. Not the kind of meal like one, like Homa used to say that, you know, their food, you go to Buka. Say, madam, give me rice. How many pieces of meat? Meat, okay. Do you have an elephant liver there? He said, no. What about monkey waste? He said, no. Ah. You guys, my dad said fish. Okay, fish, okay, good. Salmon? He said, no, now which salmon? Ah. Okay, do you have a part of whale? No. Shark, no. No. Just give me the rest like that. Let me go eat. It's one man of God that is an entrepreneur at university. So you make it look like it's their fault. I wanted to buy meat, but they don't have. No, I mean proper, decent meal, maybe with a bottle of soft drink to go with it. It was 1 naira. And then I saw a fellow student dash somebody 20 naira under such circumstances. I was like, what is going on? You mean this is doable? I knelt down and said, God, I must do this. I wasn't competing with anybody, I was competing with myself. I said, you mean this is doable? So the first day I had the opportunity, one brother just said, I want to buy something. You know, and I said, it's going to cost 15 naira. I believe God. Before he finished saying he's believing God, I said, I just jumped. Gathered the money I had. Here's the first 20 naira. My friend who was there, like, what is going on? No, are you getting my point? A student. And I was an average student, typical student that needs to pray and fast that my father gets my letter on time. I'm talking about the love of righteousness. It is a problem we have today in Christianity that people are looking for results. They are not looking for righteousness. Okay, after you give that 1 million, okay, that time after you gave 20 naira, what now happened? I can't remember anything that happened. All I remember is I'm still here today preaching the gospel to you. I don't know what God brought into my life by it. I don't know. And I'm saying to you again, you will never know. You can't know. God did not ordain for you to know. What am I emphasizing? This walking by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Love God and love righteousness. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, seek that thing. I want to say this. We have, because of the depravity of the minds of people, a lot of times, we always look for how we get from these things. Like they say in old-time religion, we are not dead to self. Most of the time, as Christians, we are unable to just do something and let it be, it is done, and I don't have to remember it. We preachers, we have been the major problem the Lord has had and still has till today. I always like to drop a word for preachers because we spread error every time we preach like this. We make it look that the reason a Christian does good works, the reason a Christian gives is because of what he's going to get. Listen, the fact is that it is not true. Real Christianity, we do good works for the love of righteousness. That is, what did I get from it? It doesn't matter. What I did, was it right? Was it what God would have wanted a child of God to do in that situation? If the answer is yes, that is the end of it. Jesus said, my food, John chapter 4, is to do the will of him that sent me. That is, I am satisfied once I know that what I did was the will of God. Please, this is very important. Talking about walking in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. That's what it means. To love, I'm emphasizing that love God thing.
to just live life for the sake of the love of righteousness. You're not trying to get anything. You're just trying to do righteousness.